All right, let's get into this word, skeptics. My title today is Healing Who Gets It. Healing Who Gets It with a question mark. So we're going to be looking at Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 5. Father God, we thank you for this word this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would break it open, that it would be real, relevant, life-giving. We pray that you would answer the difficult questions. Help us to understand why people get healed and why others do not. We thank you, Lord, for this message today. Move me aside, Holy Spirit, teach it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. All right, let's read Isaiah 53, 4 through 5 together. But before we do that, can you do me a favor? Lift your Bibles or your electronic devices high in the air. Let's say our Bible affirmation together. If you don't know it, don't worry. The words are going to be on the screen. Look at that. We help you. Ready? Let's say this together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 5. We're reading from the New King James Version. If you don't have it, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. Let's read together. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem... Are y'all with me? Is it because y'all sitting? I can't hear you. Okay, let's try that again. Let's declare the word in here, all right? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Everybody say amen. This is the passage that we use and that we have taught in our church that helps us to understand God's will when it comes to healing. God's desire is that we are healed. And as we see this in Isaiah 53, verse 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs. That word griefs means sicknesses. If you look at the original translation, even if you have a Bible, it'll be a little number one by it. That word is sicknesses. And it says, and carried our sorrows. That word sorrows has a number two by it. That word is pains. So if you were to read it again, it says, surely he, being Jesus, has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. There are so many times when I'm hurting and I tell God, I don't know why I'm holding on to this pain, because the Bible says you bore my sickness and you carried my pain. So I'm going to give back to you the pain that you supposedly had carried. And we have taught and we have learned in this church that God is a God who desires our healing. Because the Bible goes in verse 5 and says he was wounded. That means Jesus was wounded for us, for our transgressions, for what we did wrong. He was bruised for our sins. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And then it ends with this line, and by his stripes or by his beatings, we were healed. That word healed means made whole. That means whole physically. That means if I have a sickness, I'm restored back to wholeness, whole mentally, whole emotionally. All of that is what that word means. So we have been taught that. We've learned that. And many of us have believed that it is not God's will. Some people say it's God's will for some people to be sick. We have looked at scripture over and over again that proves that it is not. I see nowhere where God is like, I want everybody to be sick. Now, people get sick for various reasons. Maybe they get sick because of disobedience and sin comes on them. Maybe they get sick because there's a demonic oppression. There are all kinds of reasons. I don't want to get into why people get sick. But God doesn't want you to stay that way. It is never God's. I don't see anywhere in scripture where God is like, yes, this is the one thing I want in your life is for you to be sick. Can't find it in scripture. But I see in so many places where God wants to heal. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. So the problem that I have, and I think the question that many of us has is, then why isn't everybody healed? I mean, if it's God's will for everybody to be healed, the word says by his stripes we are healed. If you look in 1 Peter 2, 23 and 24, it says by his stripes we were healed, which means it's already purchased and done and settled. Then why are we walking around with people who have sickness today, and why are people dying? Why do some people get healed and others don't? Well, let me give you the generic, the best, easiest answer for this. I have no idea. We could literally drop the mic, go home, and say, that was a waste of my time, if that's all I could say. I could truly leave it right here because I really don't know specifically for every situation why that person in every situation is not healed. I also don't even know a generic overall why every person's not healed. I do know there are some reasons, there are some things that we can see why people don't get healed, and that it, but that might not even apply in every situation. So I don't want us to get into this mindset that there is a blanket answer to why people don't get healed. There is no blanket answer to that. There are some specific things. And I heard some people teach, well, I don't like giving 10 reasons why people don't get healed because it start giving people excuses. I said, well, that's cool, but it doesn't change the fact that we don't know why they ain't healed. We still struggle. And so today what I'm going to do is I'm going to take us through a series of questions that hopefully will help us to get a better understanding about why some people don't get healed. But I want to make this very clear. That does not mean in your situation or with the person you're dealing with, this is the reason why they didn't get healed. Because God is a God of greatness. He is sovereign. There is so much more to him that we don't know. He could give us a greater revelation later as to why healing didn't happen. Now, let me put this into context with you for me in my life and why this is such an important topic. Well, 14 years ago in January, my mother was diagnosed with stage 4 stomach cancer. And I was married, pregnant with my first child, and believing God that my mom was going to be healed from this cancer. She was diagnosed, and 6 weeks later, she passed away. Now, I was standing in faith. I was praying in the spirit. I was believing God. I couldn't get to her. I kept saying, if I could get to her and just put my hands on her. And I thought that maybe healing didn't come because I couldn't touch her. That really wasn't the case. But I was devastated. She died 7 days after my first child was born. She was the last remaining grandparent. And I was mad at God. I'm not ashamed to say it. I thank God that he's big enough to take our anger. Come on, somebody, praise the Lord. Because some people tell you, you can't be mad at God, that's just wrong. You know, if he's my friend, don't I get mad at my friend sometimes too? When my friend does stuff I don't understand, don't I have some issues and I'd be like, I just don't want to talk to you right now? Come on, God is big enough, he can handle our little issues. He's okay with that. And so I went to God and I said, I don't get this. You said you're a healer. You said in your word that you want people to be healed. I know what your word says. I've prayed your word. I believe there was no lack of faith in my heart. God, what happened? And it took me on a journey to begin to ask the question, God, why did she not get healed? And it made me mad because I was mad because I would see other folks getting healed, but not my mama. Matter of fact, I prayed for folks and they got healed and my mama didn't get healed. I had some issues with that. So I started on this journey. And the first part of that journey was this. Is the issue that I didn't have enough faith. Is one of the reasons why people don't get healed because we don't have enough faith to believe God. Because that's what a lot of people tell you. A lot of people will tell you, folks don't get healed, you don't have enough faith. I have such an issue with that statement. How can I not have enough faith? Let me explain it to you. Let me just go and show you why people say, and I'm talking about people in the church. I'm not talking about people in the world. People in the world already say God ain't gonna do nothing no way, so that ain't their issue. It's the church folks that say, hey, we got a faith problem. So let's talk about this faith problem. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 9. If not, the words are gonna come on your screen. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Jesus starts to tell this story. And he comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and there's a crowd gathering. And verse 17, then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, look, I brought you, my son, who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples. Look here, Jesus. Now, I went to your people, and I asked them to get rid of this demonic presence in my child, but they couldn't do it. Now, these are the same folks who 7 chapters earlier, Jesus sends out 2 by 2 and they coming back and all the demons are responding and they getting cast out. And they like, yes, the demons obey us. Jesus is like, don't even get excited about that. Just be glad your name in the book of life. Shut up. Right? So it's not like these people have not had some success in casting demons out before. Because if they had not had some success in casting demons out, this guy would have never went to them. So obviously they had been known for casting demonic forces out. So they come and he's like, look, Jesus, I brought them to your disciples and they couldn't do it. And Jesus's response is so powerful. He responds to him and says, oh, faithless generation. Now you got to pay attention to who he's talking to. He's not talking to the daddy right now. He's talking to the disciples. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring that boy to me. I love Jesus' response. So Jesus says, the reason why this didn't happen is because my people didn't believe in me enough. They ain't got no faith. That's not what it is. He says they're faithless. Now watch this. He goes on, they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So Jesus asked the Father, how long has this been happening? So Jesus starts asking questions about the situation so he can properly assess it. From childhood, he goes on to talk about it, and he says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Then Jesus turns and he has a different response. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cries out with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And then Jesus casts the spirit out. Now I want you to jump down because here's where it gets exciting. Verse 28, when he came home, his disciples go to him in private. Come here, Jesus. We got a question. What's the question? How come we couldn't do that? You know what Jesus said? He said, this kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting. There are two issues of faith here. The first is on the people who are trying to perform or release the miracle of God. And the other issue is on the person trying to receive on behalf of someone else a miracle. And my challenge is, God, how can you say they're faithless? I mean, they've been casting out demons all along. What's the issue? Is the issue that there is a quantity of faith that I need in order to release a healing? And maybe I don't have, quote unquote, enough faith. I have a huge problem with that because that contradicts scripture where the Bible says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed, and it shall be moved. So clearly there is no quantity or level or a number associated with my faith. Because if you think about it, faith is all in. Either I have it or I don't. It's like saying I'm just a little bit pregnant. You can't be just a little bit pregnant. You either are pregnant or you are not. You either believe God or you don't. And if you're wavering, that means you don't. Don't act like you still believe. I believe God, but no, you don't believe God, but you are not there where you are fully, wholeheartedly committed saying, I believe God. Now, some of us start saying, well, the reason the healing didn't happen is because you don't wholeheartedly believe. How do I measure wholehearted belief? I struggle with that question. I was like, God, it wasn't that I didn't believe that I believed with every fiber of my being she was going to get healed. I mean, you couldn't get no more believing than how I felt. There is an emotional type of faith, which is how I feel. Then there's a biblical type of faith, which is, am I doing what God says I'm supposed to do, which shows my faith. I don't know if I had either one at that point. God wants to see all men healed. But see, the healing is not about the miracle. The healing is about the revelation of more of him. So with the disciples, he calls them faithless. But he says the only way you can deal with this situation is by prayer and fasting. I got confused. So I'm saying, are you telling me that prayer and fasting gives me more faith? And the Lord said, absolutely. But not in a quantity. What it does is it strengthens the faith that you have. Come on, somebody. You're missing it. It doesn't raise the level of faith you have anymore. The little faith you got, it just strengthens it, makes it stronger. I'm going to show it to you in scripture in just a little bit. When you start to pray and when you start to worship, something happens and all of a sudden it's not like you got any more faith or any less faith. What happens is you just believe God and that's it. When you come out of worship, you say, he can do it. There's no but. Okay. Let me help you. When you go to the doctor, you're like, I don't know if he can do it. So I don't have no faith. But when I worship, I go, he's a healer. He can do it. So somewhere along the lines, the disciples started to question something about whether he could do it. And he's saying the only thing you can do to fix that is to go back and pray and fast. So now you know I can do it. So there is no, he can do it, but maybe he can do it. It's either he can do it or he can't. And I get strengthened in my faith to say he can do it when I pray and I seek the Lord, I fast, I worship, then I know he can do it. Now, you need to watch the response of the dad, because the dad's response is interesting. Because you got to imagine that he came in faith saying you can do it. But the disciples didn't do it. And when he didn't see it happen, he moved now from he can do it to maybe he can't do it. So he comes to Jesus and Jesus says, if you can believe. And you know what his response is? He said, I believe. But then he says, Lord, help me overcome my unbelief. That seems like a contradictory statement. It really isn't. Let me explain to you what he's saying. He's saying, I'm coming to you because I know you can do it. Now come on and do what you said you're going to do. Let's get over this unbelief. He's not saying, help me to believe you more. I already believe you. Now do what you got to do. Help me overcome this stuff that, look, the stuff that got on me when it didn't happen the first time. Some of you, the reason why you're struggling is you prayed for God to heal. You believed God for healing. You didn't see it. And then you went into unbelief. And God is saying, tell me I believe. Help me overcome what I've already seen. Help me overcome. Come on. Because I believe you're going to do what you said you're going to do. When you do it, I'm going to overcome the unbelief that you're not going to do it. Come on, y'all. I'm getting excited. I'm trying to hold myself back. This type can come out only by prayer and fasting. So is the problem that I don't have enough faith? Stop saying I don't have enough faith. Say, God, I believe you. Just help me overcome this unbelief that I've been seeing. Just help me overcome this by doing what you said you're going to do. I know you're going to do it. Don't ever tell somebody who's not healed they don't have enough faith. Because you know what? That makes me feel like, gosh, because you know what? What you're saying is you have to do something to earn your healing. There's nothing you can do to earn this healing. You can't earn the blessings and the, look, let me tell you something. It just, either you, there are people in the Bible that Jesus didn't ask if they believe and then he just healed them. And there are people in the Bible that he asked them, do you believe? And they said yes. There are people in the Bible says your faith has made you whole. So it really, don't start talking about do you have enough faith, because God can move in any situation. The reality is we want you to believe. We want you to believe Jesus. And if you say, I don't know, well, let me help you believe. Let me help you overcome that unbelief. Let's begin to worship. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to speak God's word. Because when we do that, it's going to help you overcome your unbelief. You either do or you don't. And that's okay if you don't. We can help you get through it. And let me say this. The other reason why people struggle with healing is because we put God on a timetable. So maybe we've got faith, but the problem is you ain't did it yet. I got an issue with that because I haven't seen you move. And so therefore, watch this. Now my unbelief is creeping in again because it's been a little while. I got a problem with that because Abraham waited 25 years. How long you been waiting on your healing? I prayed yesterday. Ain't nothing happened. God ain't real. Do you believe in him? If you believe he's God, then help us overcome that unbelief. Let's just keep believing. Well, watch this. Abraham, the Bible says he never wavered. Let me show you something about Abraham, and I'm gonna prove this to you. This is so powerful. Romans chapter 4, 19 through 22 is such a powerful passage because it calls Abraham the father of faith and the father of righteousness. It was credited to him as righteousness because he had faith. But watch this, verse 19. It's talking about Abraham. He said, and not being weak in faith. Now, I asked God, I said, what's being weak in faith? Because that sounds like there's a measure. And God said, no. You know how we weaken faith? Is we say, God, you're going to do it, but I'm just not sure. You might as well not have no faith. That's what he's saying. Abraham was never weak in faith. For 25 years, he did not weaken faith. And some of y'all are like, well, he went and had a baby outside of marriage with his concubine, and that's Ishmael, because he didn't have no faith. No. It wasn't that he didn't have faith. He just didn't know how God was going to do it, so he figured he'd help him. But he had faith. He was like, God's going to give me an heir. I'm going to get me an heir. God's going to give me an heir. Oh, you want me to sleep with her? Okay, I'm going to get an heir. He still had a baby. about. Y'all missing this. He didn't go in like, okay, I'm going to sleep with her and hope maybe God do something. He's like, no, I'm going to get me an heir. He never shook on the faith that God was going to bless him with an heir. That's what this passage is saying. Most people say, well, he was weak because he went and he was not weak. He might have been manly weak, but he wasn't weak in his faith. He did not consider his own body already dead. Why? Because he's already 100 years old. And then not only is he 100, but he got a 90-year-old wife. By the way, she was fine at 90. The Bible says she was hot. She was so good looking. Abraham used to have to lie about her when he went to places so that other folks, I'm going to tell you what, Jesus, I want to be fine at 90. Sarah did it. I can do it too. Okay, holding on to my promise. That's your promise. Watch this. He says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Check this next words out. But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. How did Abraham get strong in his faith? He kept giving God glory anyhow. For 25 years, not knowing, not seeing, not having anything. I'm pretty sure he tried every single day with Sarah. Girl, you having a baby yet? Come on, girl, let's try again. You having a baby yet? Not yet. Well, come on, girl, let's do this again. 25 years, probably 365. Sarah was like, look, I'm so tired of this. But in the middle of that, he gave God glory. How did his faith get strengthened? He worshiped God in the process. Watch this. Now it says, but with strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and which means because of that, in addition to those things, he was fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform. You cannot put healing on a timetable. But what you can do, come on somebody, is you can be fully convinced by worshiping God while you wait. Because just because you haven't seen the healing don't mean that God has done it yet. You can't give up. Pastor Jen gave her testimony this morning. For at least 2 years, I think it was about 2 years or more, she was struggling with this issue with her back. And let me tell you something. She was getting a word that she's healed. She's healed. And it's hard to keep believing God when you're in pain. See, those of y'all who got some financial problems, that's pain. But, I mean, when it's in your body and you can't sleep and you can't eat and you stressed and you frustrated, you wiped out because you ain't had no sleep, you about to cuss everybody out, and you're supposed to stand in faith, by his stripes I'm healed. How do you strengthen your faith in those times? You do what Abraham did. You give glory to God and you get fully convinced. You worship. Let me tell you something that I know about this woman of God is her prayer life increased like never before during those 2 years. She began to love God's presence like never before during those 2 years. She became a worshiper in a new space like never before in those 2 years. She began to hear God in new ways like never before during those 2 years. See, the 2 years was never, God's never into let me just do the healing because he's into relationship. He wants you to get a greater revelation of who he is in the middle of your situation. So if it takes a little longer, it's because he wants you to get a greater revelation of who he is. If he does it instantaneously, that will give you a greater revelation of who he is. He only knows how long and what he needs to do, but he will bring the healing. And you're like, but Pastor, you keep saying that, but I'm struggling. Well, let me show you one more because before I move there, it wasn't just Abraham who was strengthened in faith. You know who else was strengthened in their faith? It was Sarah. A lot of people think Sarah didn't believe because she gave him the concubine. She did believe. Let me show it to you by faith. Hebrews 11:11. I like this one. Bible says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength. Hold up. How did Sarah get strength? The Bible says she received strength to conceive seed. How did she get strength to conceive seed? The Bible says by faith. Her faith got strengthened. How? Because as she's watching her husband worship God, she's like, okay, he might have something there. She's strengthening herself. Watch this. Her faith builds her up. She gets strength to conceive, and she bore child when she was past the age. Watch this. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah stood as a judge over the situation. For 25 years, she stood as a judge over the situation. You know what she had to say? I'm going to judge that God is going to do it, or I'm going to judge that God is not. I'm going to look at my situation. I'm going to look at the bills, and I'm going to say God is going to do it or he's not. I'm going to look at my marriage, and I'm going to say God going to do this or he's not. I'm going to look at my children and their craziness, and I'm going to look at my children and their lack of obedience. I'm going to look at their children. I'm going to say, God, you either going to do this or you're not. Sarah judged, and she said, he's faithful. It was funny because I said she could have judged and said he's good. I thought that was like, oh, God, I judge you as good. No, but she said, I judge you as faithful. You know why? Because it took you 25 years, but I know you're still faithful. What happens on the day you stop judging him faithful? What if that was the day she got pregnant when she decided? She could have been pregnant, but she said, he ain't faithful no more. Some of y'all, I said this earlier, you've been waiting. I'm watching God and realizing God doesn't forget anything I asked him for. God is putting stuff and dropping stuff in my lap, blessings. That I said, well, I ain't ask you for that, God. I mean, I ain't been praying. God said, yes, you did. You just forgot. You prayed for that 17, 18, 19 years ago, 20 years ago. You just forgot you prayed it. There's some stuff that I have planted and sowed, and I have left the field and walked away from. But God said, I still see the seed. The Bible says in Jeremiah, I'm watching over my word, waiting to see when I can perform it. And God will pop stuff back up in your life 20 plus years later. I kind of imagine that was probably Abraham. He's like in his heart knowing God's going to do it. Just like, eh. And then one day, God comes to him, okay, Abraham, let's go. It's time. Go circumcise yourself because we're about to get it on. And that was when when his child was conceived. So you might be planting stuff and it might take a long time, but you're going to have to judge him faithful to what he promised. Okay, so I said, God, well, that's cool and all. And I think I'm going to close on this. I had another question, but I'm going to skip that. I said, God, that's cool and all, but my mama still died. I don't get it. I feel like I judged you faithful. I feel like I believed you. I feel like I was standing in your word for those 6 weeks, but she still died. Why is it that I believe you for something, for a healing in particular, and that person dies? The Lord said, I want to show you something. I want you to turn to Judges chapter 20. I said, Judges, Jesus? This ain't even no New Testament thing. God said, I'm going to show you why sometimes these things happen. And this is very important. And again, I had 50 other questions I was going to answer, but for the sake of time, I'm going to sum it up with this one. Judges chapter 20. Some of you don't know where that is. Use your table of contents. Stop thumbing. They'll stop going like this. Just use the table of contents. It's all right. And if you got it electronic, you got it even faster. Judges chapter 20, verse 18. This is very interesting because what was happening is the Israelites had a group or a tribe of Israelites called the Benjamins or the Benjaminites, the tribe of Benjamin. They were being completely disobedient to God and they were coming against the Israelites. So this is like your brother fighting against you, right? So here's what happens. The Bible says, then the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God to inquire of God. I love that. So the ones who are serving God are saying, okay, we got to go talk to God about this. So I'm like, look, God, I got this loss in my family. My mom died. I need to talk to you about it. He said, that's fine. Come on and talk to me. Now, by the way, let me say this. Even in the situation with the disciples, they went and asked God, why didn't it work? It's okay for you to go ask God, why are they not healed? God, why did they die? Stop saying, don't ask God questions. Don't let nobody put that mess in your head. All throughout the Bible, people ask God questions. David inquired, God, what should I do every day? David was so serious about inquiring about God that David put a tent and said, bring the Ark of the Covenant there so every day I can go in there and worship and I can ask God some questions. That was completely against the law. He said, I don't care, do it. And God blessed him. So don't ever say you can't ask God a question. God, why did my husband die? Why did my loved one die? Why did this happen to me? Don't be afraid to ask God those questions, because in that God is going to reveal more of himself to you. So they go up and they inquire of the Lord. And here's what they asked. They said, God, which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah first. What does Judah mean? Anybody know? Praise. That means go on and let's pray. Put the praisers up first. Go ahead and get your worshiping. Whenever you start to see God sending the children of Israel into battle, he always put the worshipers first. So let me tell you something. If you're dealing with something and you don't know what's going on, just start worshiping. You say, that don't make no sense. I know, but that's what God said. Just worship. I don't know how to do that. Stick a song on, lift your hands up, put the words on the screen, and go in it. Just do it. And now YouTube makes it so easy. Watch this. Verse 19. So the children of Israel, here's what they do. They obey God. They get up in the morning. They encamp against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves, watch this. They got up and they said, yes, God. And they girded themselves for the battle. Verse 21. Then the children of Benjamin came out of Gibeah. And on that day, cut down to the ground 22,000 men of the Israelites. Let me help you. God said, put Judah first, go out to battle. And you know what happened? They lost 22,000 people. The good folks. Hold up, God. You told me to do this, and we lost 22,000 people? You told me to pray, and they died? I'm confused. Watch their response. This is powerful. Then the children of Benjamin, watch this, verse 22. And the people, that is the men of God, they encouraged themselves. So death happened to 22,000 of their folks because God said, go do something. And you know what they did? They went and they encouraged themselves. That word means that they went and they prayed and they got before the Lord until they got strength all over again. Some of you are seeing loss and seeing death, and you're saying, God, that's it. I give up. God said that should not be your response when death happens. When death happens, you need to go get somewhere with you and God and find a way to get in God's presence and encourage yourself. And then what they did is once they encouraged themselves, they got back up and went back to the battle line, to the place that they had went to in the first place. So wait a minute. God, you said pray for this person to be healed. They died. I encourage myself. And what God says next is go pray for somebody else to be healed. I was like, Jesus, my mama died. He said, I don't care. What did I tell you to do? I told you to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I told you, come on somebody, that you're going to see signs and wonders happen behind you, that people are going to be healed. My word hasn't changed because death happened to 22,000 people. But God, maybe I heard you wrong. No, you didn't. Because watch this. Watch this. They lined in the place where they had put themselves on the first day, verse 23. Then the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord. They got back in his presence until evening, and they asked him again. See, they said, look, I've encouraged myself. I've aligned myself up for battle, but I'm still coming back. Look, God, shall I again draw near for battle against the children of my brother Benjamin? And the Lord said, go up against him. Verse 24. So God's like, yep, you're supposed to go back and do that battle again. So the children of Israel approached the children of Benjamin on the second day. And Benjamin went up out against them from Gibeah on the second day. Now, don't you think they're going to win this time? Psych. And got cut down to the ground 18,000 more of the children of Israel. In other words, 22,000 lost the first day. The second day, 18,000 died. They get lost again. I prayed for this person to get healed. They died. God said, get up and go do it again. Pray for the next person. I prayed for that person to get healed. He said, that's all right. They died. Now you're sitting there going, what now? Did I hear you right? God says, this is going to be a place of miracles and healing, but God, I prayed and ain't nothing happened. What's up? I'm almost done. Watch this. Here's what they did, verse 26. Then all the children of Israel, that is, all the people went up and came to the house of the Lord. You know what they did? They went back to God and they cried. He said, that's all right, come on and cry about it. They sat before the Lord there again, but this time they fasted. That day until evening. and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Now, not only did they fast, they worshiped and they gave an offering to God. I'm confused, God. These people crazy. And then you know what they did? Verse 27. They inquired of the Lord again. Shall I yet again, in verse 28, go out to battle? They asked him the same question. This is the third time. And you know what? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them in your hand. The first two times didn't work. But it did not change God's word. Let me see if I can help you. If a person you praise for dies, you need to understand this. There is evil in the world. God didn't cause their sickness. God didn't want them to be sick. He allowed, look, because we messed up, he allowed there to be evil in the world, and there is a process. And the process is this. He has made believers to have and be equipped with everything they need to fight back that evil. It is a battle. But if you go in and you try to fight back that battle, that evil, and that evil wins, stop tucking your tail behind your legs like, God didn't give me what I needed. It didn't work. God's not a healer. Because that don't mean God's not a healer. That means that God is, I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know why they died. It could be all kind of other stuff. But here's what I learned. That does not change the fact that God has not called me to go back out, lay my hands on the sick, and they will recover. That does not change the fact that God has called this to be a place where we have no cancer. That does not change the fact that this is a place, this is a house where miracles, signs, and wonders are supposed to be done. Just because somebody died don't mean that God's word has changed. So what must we do? We must go and encourage ourselves, strengthen our faith, help us, God, overcome our unbelief, because it was hard yesterday. I don't change what God has said. His assignment on my life has not stopped because my mother died. You know what God said, dude? Go pray for somebody else to get healed. Are you serious right now, God? About 3 months after my mom died, a young girl was in our church, and her mother got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. The little girl was about 12 years old, and she came to me crying because she was part of our program. She said, my mom is dying. What do I do? I had a crisis of belief. Was I going to be like Sarah and judge him faithful? Or was I going to say, well, my mama died, so we just going to hope God's will is that your mama don't. Stop saying people that. God's will is that she's healed. He's equipped me to fight it. Maybe I need a new revelation of how to fight it, but I'm still equipped to fight it. Come on, somebody. So I was faced with a crisis of belief. Do I believe or do I not? And I said, God, I'm going to judge you faithful. You're still a healer. You're still good. I said, girl, tell your mama to come to me. I'm going to pray for her. I prayed for her. That little girl's mom went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, we don't know. Maybe we misread the reports. But she didn't have cancer. I was like, now, some of y'all praising God, but you know what my response was? So how come it didn't work with my mama? You might have some losses. You might not understand the losses. But it doesn't change the fact you got to get back up and go get in battle. Now, there were times when someone else came and their mother was dying, and I prayed, and they lasted a little bit long, and then they passed away. And you know what I had to do? I had to come right back. What do I judge? Do I judge you faithful, or do I not? See, this cycle doesn't stop in your life, because there are going to be people who die for whatever reason, and I don't know them all. But what I do know is everybody in here has an assignment on their life. And that assignment, look, let me tell you something. He said, you will lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. Signs and wonders should accompany the word of God that you're telling people about. That's the assignment on your life. That assignment is not for the pastor. That assignment is not for the leaders on the pulpit. That assignment is for every believer. And so you are supposed to be seeing miracles happen. And if you're not seeing them happen, don't get mad and say, I don't have enough faith. Sounds wrong to me. Just start worshiping and he'll strengthen your faith. Stop blaming yourself. I don't know how to pray. You know how to pray. You just say whatever God tells you to say. And if you don't know that, shut up and just say, Jesus, do it. Whatever. Stop disqualifying or saying, I have no reason why this is working in my life. And all I need you to do is start to stand up and say, I believe, and I'm going to do the last thing you told me to do. Even if it didn't work, I'm coming back. I'm going to do it again, and 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 I'm going to do it again, until God, until your word comes to pass. If it's 25 years, it's going to come to pass. Everybody stand to your feet. I got to close here. Watch this. One of, I think, the generals of our faith in this movement of healing is Pastor Bill Johnson up in Reading. I mean, he's such a great teacher on this and on healing. And I mean, they have miraculous healings. They have healings where, you know, you have people who have like their arm got cut off and it miraculously grows back. And I'm like, man, that's wild. And you know what my first response was? I don't know if I could ever see that happen in my life. God's like, you got to judge me faithful. What did I tell you to do? Well, whatever faith you got, just strengthen it. I was minding my business. I'm going to close with this story. I was minding my business. Saying, I'm tired, God. I just need to spend some time with you. And I think in about March, I went away and I just popped on some worship music on Bethel on YouTube. And this song came up, God of Miracles. It's been my like anthem in the last 3 or 4 months. I didn't have any situation where I was like, I need a miracle. I wasn't like praying for healing in particular for somebody I didn't know about. I just, you know what God said? God says her faith is going to need to be strengthened right now for something that's yet to come. Sometimes you'll start to worship now and it's about something in the future. And I start believing the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. And I was like, whatever it is, God, let's go. Let's go. And I'm thinking, when I go to church, somebody going to be sick. I got this. Yeah, that didn't happen. Nothing was going on. Well, it turns out I've been believing God, and a friend that I've been praying for 20 years got really sick and almost died. And the Holy Spirit put him on my heart, and I start praying, and I called, and it turns out that he was in a coma, and he was basically seeing hell before him, seeing images of hell, because he was not a believer. And the Lord used me and another one of our friends who's a believer. He put them on our heart. We start praying, and he came out. And he said, I don't know what other people are saying no more, but whoever y'all talk to, he listens. He's real. 20 years later, my uncle is battling with an illness that even the Mayo Clinic says we don't know what's going on. He's getting worse and worse. You know what the Lord says? I'm the God of miracles. I could look at my friend and I could say, well, God, you did it there. Why is it not happening for my uncle? Or I could say, let's go, God. Let's do this one again. The issue is not about why they don't get healed, because as I told you, it's different for everybody. The issue is, what are you going to judge him as next time you see it? Is he still faithful? That's what I want to leave with you. Lift your hands. Let me pray for you. I want everybody to say this. Say, Jesus, I believe you. Help me overcome my unbelief. Strengthen my faith. God, I'm going to go back out. I'm going to go back to battle, knowing that there are losses. I'm going back. And I'm going to stand in faith. And I'm going to stand in your word. And I'm going to keep believing. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will not quit. I will not give up. I'm going to praise you anyhow. Come on, begin to give the Lord a hand praise right now. Our prayer team, come on up, prayer team. Our prayer team is up here. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you want to make a decision to return because maybe you once knew him and you didn't, our prayer team will be here. They'll talk to you. I promise you they won't embarrass you. They just want to help you understand and hopefully make a decision to say, you know what, God, I need you. Maybe my problem is I just didn't believe in you. So I'm going to come today saying I believe in you. If you need prayer today, they're here to pray with you. They're here to encourage you, but I want to dismiss you today and tell you, look, don't let the past experiences stop you from believing God. Don't let the past experiences stop you from going back out and believing in faith that God's going to heal. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now, and forevermore. God bless you. Give somebody a hug. Somebody give God praise. And if you need prayer, they're here to pray with you. Hallelujah.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.